Father, I just truly do thank you and I praise you. And Holy Spirit, just continue to work with Catherine. Just knock her down. Just let her have you all do 100% right now. Father, I thank you and I praise you that you love your children so desperately and so completely. We thank you for being here with us tonight. We thank you for your short word, Father God. And we thank you that you've already opened up our spiritual ears to hear what saith the Lord. And Wendy, my chosen one, I would say unto you this day, look up, for the adventure I'm taking you on is one that you never, ever, ever dreamed you would go on. I will be with you. I've sent my holy angels to be encamped around about you already, but I will go with you on this journey. And daughter, we will see many, many miracles occur all across the land. I am strengthening you right now, even as I speak in the atmosphere. And I say unto you, come away, my beloved, come into my arms. Unless you and I converse together from this second on. And daughter, never think for one instant that it is not I, the Lord thy God, that has placed you in this place in your journey with me. There will be many opportunities, little one, for you to turn away from me. But you will not. You will not. You will stand your ground. And you will not care what the enemy throws your way, because you know that I have you in the very palms of my hand, and that it is I that has sent you on this journey, this new adventure. And daughter, my glory will go with you wherever you go. My glory shall fill your temple, and then you shall take my glory and share it with all those that you come in contact with. This is your hour to truly shine. Just as my son Jesus had his hour to shine, this is your hour to truly shine and to bring freedom all across this land. I am with you and I'm for you, not against you. And I will encourage you each and every day, because, daughter, there's going to be some dark days. But always remember that I, the Lord thy God, that I am shining my light down upon you. And I am lighting the path before your feet. And you will not stumble nor fall. All right, this teaching we're going to have tonight is called Can You Endure? Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 4, it says, rise and shine. There's our verse. Now look what that verse is saying. Rise and shine. Why? For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I mean, this is a scripture God gave this church, what, 3-4 years ago? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And isn't the darkness covering the earth? And deep darkness the people. And the people are walking in deep darkness. But the Lord will rise over you. See that? And his glory will be seen upon you. The Holy Spirit got Catherine. She's laying out there just having a good time in the Lord. Verse 3 says, a Gentile shall come to your light. What does it say? The world is going to come to your light, right? And kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather. They come to you. To you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. The church gave this, God gave this church a great assignment when he gave us that scripture. But I have to admit that the church has not held up their end of the bargain here. You don't understand the fullness of what that scripture is really saying to you. It's been up there long enough now for you to forget it's even there. Because you know when you have something up so long, you even forget it's there. But God is calling us back to this scripture. And we need to understand that we have a great assignment from the Father to take a light to a dark, dark world. You know, if you really realize that whenever the revival we're going to hold is called When the Light Shines, you have to really think of what that's really saying to us. All right, God is asking his own people to help others understand the day of the Lord. As we read God's word, it continually tells us to not look forward to the day of the Lord. It will be a day of darkness and gloom. The day of the Lord is described as a day on which the heavens will pass away with a rushing noise, the elements be destroyed in the fierce heat, and the earth and all work, the works of man be utterly burnt up. It will be the most concentrated time of trials, pain, suffering, and mass death the world has or ever will experience. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. And I just want to stop there. So we're saying, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But do you really want to go through all this quickly? Because we will go through some of this. But we're saying, oh, I'm so glad when Jesus comes and this is all over with. Are you going to be able to endure those years that we have to be in this mess? Or is it going to take you under? How strong are you? And when all this stuff comes, it's already started, but it's just in a little fragments here and there. And you're being taken out already. How are you going to endure when the fiercest of this really hits the church, the world, whatever? And this is why God's saying, can you endure? A lot of you are just walking in a smoke screen, and you're not going to be able to endure. I just heard that, so I said that. All right, so then another place it says about the day of the Lord, the Old Testament prophets often spoke of the day of the Lord as a time of judgment and punishment for Israel's enemies, but they also warned that Israel itself would be held accountable for its sins. And so all this coming of the Lord is a day of judgment for you and I, too. We're going to be judged for everything we did. We're going to be judged for every soul that we caused to stumble and fall. And, you know, I really think you need to be allowing the Holy Spirit to really minister to you every second of every day and let him keep reminding you that if you cause a soul to stumble, their blood is on your hands. And you're not going to make heaven because of that. We have to be really concerned how we're handling the people that God places around about us or in our path. And if we do anything at all to make them stumble, we will be judged for that. Are you listening? All right, in the New Testament, the day of the Lord is associated with the return of Jesus Christ and the final judgment of all people. Some of the key passages in the Bible refer to the day of the Lord include Zephaniah 1, 14 through 18. Isaiah 13, 9 through 11, Jeremiah 46, 10, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 through 3. Now, we could have read all those passages, but I hope you go home and you sit down and really read them by yourself and let the words penetrate. You get into your spirit man and let the words convict you. Because not all that's even sitting in here tonight are convicted by your sins, and you're not going to be able to endure when the true battle hits. These passages describe the day of the Lord as a time of darkness, wrath, and destruction, as you read those scriptures. These passages describe the day of the Lord. Can you put those scriptures up there again, Chris? Yeah, just see them there. These passages describe the day of the Lord as a time of darkness, wrath, and destruction, but they also offer hope for those who trust in God. We do not live in a hopeless generation. If we're really sold out to God 100%, trusting God with all of our heart to see us through and to be with us through these trying times, we're going to have hope. And we're going to be able to take that hope to other people. But if we're not sold out to God 100%, and we're not living all of our life for God, you don't have no hope, or you wouldn't be doing that to begin with. And so you have nothing to offer somebody without hope. People watch everything you do, whether you believe that or not. They watch everything you do, and they hear a lot of things you don't think they hear. And you can hide things, but the Holy Spirit reveals things. And this is why God said that the church needs to quit wearing two faces. All right? When are you really going to get yourself right with God? When are you going to quit playing games with yourself? These are things we have to ask ourselves. God, am I still playing games? You can get right. I don't care what you say. You can get right. I've watched this too long now. I've watched people fight for their very life, and I watch people say they fight and aren't fighting. They keep giving in to that sin nature. All you have to do is ask God to keep you. That's all you have to do. And he will keep you. I don't care what it is you need to keep. All right, when my first husband told me after Teresa was born, she's 2 months old, he said, I don't love you. I'm never going to touch you. But I know you don't want a divorce. You want your kids just not to have step-parents. So we can live together, but we won't be married. So I had to ask God, keep me. I don't want to go out there and have sex with nobody. I don't want to walk in lust. And I was only 23, and God kept me. He took every desire away from me, and I never did that. 40 years, he kept me. Are you listening here? So don't tell me that God can't keep you. If you truly want God to keep you, he will keep you. All right? All right, in summary, the day of the Lord is a complex and multifaceted concept in the Bible. It generally refers to a time when God will intervene. And you can follow me along now. I think everybody wrote that, Chris. Okay, in summary, of the day of the Lord is a complex and multifaceted concept in the Bible. It generally refers to a time when God will intervene in human history to judge the wicked and reward the righteous, and it is associated with the return of Jesus Christ and the final judgment of all people. That's what the day of the Lord is. If you summarize it all up, it's judgment. All right? Now, Malachi 3:1-3 says, Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. Why? That they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Are you hearing this? The day of the Lord is a day of terror, and millions will be slain. Isaiah 66:14 says, When you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, that's you and I, and his indignation to his enemies, that's those who sit in the house of God and aren't serving God, or the world who has not yet given herself to God. Verse 15 says, For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by the fire and by his sword the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Look at that. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouth, shall be consumed together. In other words, the sinners, they shall be consumed together, says the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations in tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. You can fool yourself. You can fool me, and I really don't care if you fool me anymore. I don't even ask God, because I now have to work on what God's doing, where he's taking the church to next. And I don't have time to sit at home and never God tells me you're doing wrong, you know, to cry for you and do all this. That's your job. There's souls out there that God's taking us to minister to, and they are the ones that I have to be concerned about. You've had my time long enough. And now it's your time to look at your own self and get your own self freed up. All right, God is asking his church, this is what he's saying, how well do you know me? How much time do you spend in my presence? And he says, stop singing songs that claim I will come smiling and blessing. I am coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with a sharp two-edged sword in my mouth to slay millions. You tried to ignore the Old Testament, but my word tells you it is there as an example for those who live in the end times. What are we in? We're in the end times. God told us when this new dispensation started that we are now working on the second return of Jesus Christ. So we're working on the end times, and we're going to see we are already seeing all manner of evil, just like in the days of Noah. You know, the only righteous people was Noah and his family. Everybody else was sinners, and they laughed and mocked Noah to scorn. But whenever the water raised and they were drowning, they wanted to get in the boat, but it was too late. Right? Some of you sitting in here tonight you think you can wait and be able to beat on the door and get in the boat, and you won't be able to. It's going to be too late. You know, I know I keep throwing that out there because God keeps speaking it to me, but he's trying to get your attention. I don't know where your attention's at. It must be in your big toe because you're not paying attention. Luke 19:27. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. In Isaiah 13:9. See, what did he say? Bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them. And this is what's happening when you don't walk in righteousness. You don't want God to tell you what to do. And you're going to be slain. You're going to be killed. Isaiah 13:9, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. God told me that whenever he's through shaking America, you are not going to be able to recognize America. He told me all this years ago, and he even said overnight, two states are going to disappear. And you know, with all the earthquakes, that could happen. You know, all the destruction is going to, you know, and that's not even phasing a lot of you. You're not looking around about you at the signs of the times and what's really going on lately. I keep watching the heavens, what's going on with the moon and stuff. There's something getting ready to happen. I don't know what it is, but God keeps having me look into the heavens. And I keep watching, what's going on, what's going on. But I don't see anything going on yet, but I'm going to keep looking because I know it's going to happen and we're going to see it. I don't know about you, but I have a righteous fear of the Father. And since I've been to hell 3 times, I don't care to go there for eternity. And I really don't even desire to go to heaven because I know what that's going to be all about. Because I am an evangelist and I teach holiness, the reason why God took me to hell is because he wanted me to see the torment that those who would not receive Christ, what they were going to go through. And that's why he took me there. And I keep telling people what he showed me, but they don't seem to grasp the fact that it's the truth. You know, and I really don't want God to take me to heaven because I don't want to come and tell you all the wonderful things going on up there because you aren't paying attention to what's going on down in hell. Are you understanding this? I don't want you to get lost in what you think you're going to get in heaven if you're not going there. Matthew 13:37, he answered and said to them, he who sows a good seed is the Son of Man. This is Jesus saying this. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You don't know when that day or hour is. And you might think you have another week or year to get out of your sin, and God shows up that night. And you don't have no time for anything. You're done. Are you listening to this? I'm watching in the Christian community, Christians making really dumb decisions. They are not seeking God for direction. They're just doing what they want to do when they want to do it. And they're getting themselves in all kind of trouble. And God says, seek me first. Ask me first before you make any decisions. Amen. God says, why do some of you cry out to go first? In other words, you want to be number one. You want your name to be seen. Wake up, my people, and get to really know me and to know my word. Many of you are under great deception, just as my word tells you. And you read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter. I really suggest you read that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. It is sad that God said and warned us in his word, saying very few would find the narrow path. And I really don't know what it is in hell that attracts your attention. That where you're working your way there instead of working your way to heaven. Are you listening? Come on. You know, we're about ready to go into some really, 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 really bad, troubling times. I don't know if you're going to make it through. You know, an earthquake could happen tonight and swallow up your bed. You know what I'm saying? You don't know. A fire could break out and burn you up alive. You aren't going to have time to cry out to God. I watched that one person die and go to hell, and it was awful. And I thought they were going to heaven. You could deceive yourself, but you can't deceive God. Deceive me too. But you can't deceive God. Are you listening? And he was screaming, get them out of here, get them out of here. And they sucked the life right out of him. He lay there, nothing but bones with skin stretched over it. And when I watch people die, go to heaven, they're laying there very peaceful. Nothing sucked out of them at all. They're looking up in the ceiling, smiling and waiting. And this person was looking down in the corner screaming, "Get him out of here, get him out of here." I did not know he was talking about the devil. That plagues me to this day. But I did witness that, and I'm telling you, you really don't want to witness that. No turning back. There's just no turning back. Once that hour is upon you, you're finished. All right. God said, "Remember that I am not coming to simply bless my obedient servants, but to slay all who have refused to allow me to reign over them." Does that sound like all mankind will be saved, just as the false teachers are claiming? This is God speaking. "Again, I tell you to wake up and truly begin to know me and understand my word, not just a few nice promises that you wish to cling to." Ephesians 5, 6, and 7 says, "Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." Ephesians 5, 6, and 7, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." 2 months ago, God said to me once again, he said, "The first are going to be last, the last are going to be first." So in other words, he's been shaking this church and you didn't make it. So now he's going to let those that you think weren't going to make it, now they're in the first place and you're going to be sitting on the sidelines. That's sad. Very sad. That you wouldn't listen to God and now somebody else took your place. God said, where am I at? Okay, I'm at Ephesians 5, 6, and 7. I read that, didn't I? All right, then he says, "I beseech you to learn to accept the truth. Only those who love truth will one day be with me." What is the front of the newsletter today, this week? Yeah, where is a true church with all them question marks? You know, when God gave that to me, I thought, well, that's sort of funny. But he says here, "I beseech you to learn to accept the truth. Only those who love truth will one day be with me." Now, and these are my words, "We can no longer come into the house of the Lord as we used to." And I've been telling you that for a long time. We are fighting for our very lives and we must be armed for warfare at all cost. Do you really understand that you are fighting for your very life? And not only for your very life, but for all those souls that God already has your name on them? And you're not getting yourself together? And so those souls are dying and going to hell while you're still playing patty cake? God's going to hold those people before you and say, "Why didn't you get yourself together and get these people saved before they were taken off the face of the earth?" That's the way it's going to work. We are fighting for our very lives and we must be armed for warfare at all costs. And God said, "Ready yourself for your deliverance is near. Ready yourself for the enemy has targeted my people in a different new way." And you all know that. You're fighting battles you haven't fought before. "Ready yourself with the word of defense. I am planning a surprise confrontation of the enemy that is coming against my people." God's still fighting for us. "The next months will be intense. Ready yourself with the word at all times." In other words, have the word hidden in your heart and be able to bring the word up when the enemy comes to attack you. Say, "God said." And he can't fight the word. "Defend the hope that is within sight of you. Ready yourself to move quickly." Do you have hope inside of you that one day you're going to sit in heavenly places? Defend that hope. Get yourself together. Walk in righteousness the way you should. God said, "Be ready for certain things will end suddenly." You know, in other words, some of the things that you've been fighting with and fighting with, boom, just like that, they're going to be gone, which is a good thing. And new ways will open and begin suddenly. So when God takes that old thing out of you, he's going to open up brand new doors and brand new avenues, and then everything around about you is going to be brand new. And God said, do not fear your abandonment. Some of you think, well, God, you're not, you know, this is why we sing these songs. If you can't stand before God and say, I did not know how much you love me. You cannot stand before God and say, I did not know you would get me out of that mess. Every one of these songs tells you what a wonderful Father that you serve. You have no excuse. If you have a sin nature, instead of giving into your sin nature, turn your music on and start praising him. If your thoughts of your mind's going nuts, turn the music on and start singing the songs. The songs, the praise and worship will cast that out of your spirit, out of your mind. It really will. And any of you who really practice that can tell everybody that's how it works. God works through praise and worship. And that doesn't mean just inside of a church. That means in your car, in your home life. Even if you're in a den of iniquity, you need to start praising the Lord. And I can guarantee you, you'll not finish your sin. You'll leave there. Are you listening here? God says, do not fear your abandonment. Just be ready to move into the next place that I offer you. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. If you're truly working at getting yourself totally and completely clean, keep moving. Don't stop. Keep moving. There is no one of us in this room that has not had to fight through a terrible time in your walk with God. We all run into those encounters. God told me one time, he said, daughter, because I said, God, why am I running into this stuff? He said, you're human. He said, you still have to live in the world, but you're not of the world. In other words, you know, all this evil was around about me, and I had to be, you know, I wasn't part of it, but I was there in it. And I said, why do I have to suffer? Because I'm your child. Well, that's just the way it was. Jesus did. Paul did. Peter did. You know, everybody, if you really look at the word, and I wish you would, then you won't be fussing about why you're suffering. Everybody in the word that God truly used, had anointed, be really used, suffered immensely. Not just every now and then. There was always something coming against them. Always. And you would think with the wonderful encounter that Paul had, that he'd be able to whiz right on through, wouldn't you? But he suffered from that day on. Before that day when he was working with the devil, he didn't suffer at all. And you know my story, when I got born again, I always went to church and lived a good life. But when I got born again, all hell come against me. And I said, God, what is going on here? And he said, I heard you when you said, I will. And this comes along with it. From that day on, the enemy had you targeted, and he's not going to let you go. He's going to come after you with everything he has. But you're strong enough, and you can endure. See, God only calls the people that he calls and anoints, he knows won't give in. He knows they're strong. And he knows that no matter what comes your way. And if you really look at your life from little on up, you'll see where God always had you in a place where you were sort of leading other people. Start and look at those things. You know, from little up, you were always leading people, always, you know, telling them it's okay or whatever you were doing. And God had you in training all those years. And then finally then to come the day where, okay, now you're a leader. Right out in the open, you're a leader. Plump, just like that. And you say, well, God, I don't know how to do this. He said, the Holy Spirit will teach you. But see, once he says that, then you can't go back to anything that's not godly. Nothing. I mean, I didn't have to be, like I said, I always went to church. So my grandmother took me in church and taught me how to be good. And I stayed good. But something changes when you become born again, Because then, you know, you hear God's voice, you know all about the Holy Spirit, you know, and then God uses you to start prophesying. And the devil knows if he doesn't get you, take you out, you're going to destroy some of his kingdom. So if each one of us in here tonight were corporately together in righteousness, we could tear down a whole lot of darkness. And this is why God has called the church to be in unity. We should be in one mind and one accord so that the enemy couldn't come in that door at all. At all. And this is how we first started. Everybody in the church was really saved. And they got saved instantly and stay saved. We were all in one accord, you know, in total unity. And the devil could not come through that door. We never had to fight the devil at all in here. The angels were out on top of the church. The fire was seen on the church. People felt the spirit as they walked through the door. Why? Because the church itself was in unity. Are you understanding this? And if you people, if you get your homes in unity, the devil wouldn't be able to come in there and harass your home. He can't do that. He never harassed my home until I allowed sin to come into my home. And all the people that are in my home, you that are in sin, the enemy can work through them. Are you listening? So you're going to have to make some really quality decisions here right away. You're going to have to decide either you want God or you want hell. There's no in between. Can you endure? Some of you won't be able to endure right now. Why? Because you have a double standard. Well, I'm working on it. Yeah, I know you're working on it, but you're not working on it hard enough. You know, that sounds awful, but that is the truth. And anybody in here that's been set free from any kind of sin, you know that you've had to fight hell itself. And it just wasn't for 5 minutes. It was sometimes days on end you cried out to God. I watch people do that, and they finally got set free. But you can't give in. You can't give up. You have to keep fighting. And when the temptations come, you don't fall into those temptations. You walk away. Are you listening? You know, the Bible says that, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, right? Well, we aren't going to pluck our eyes out. But you know, you could close your eyes and walk the other way. You know. In the Bible, if you stole anything, they cut your hand off, didn't they? Well, we aren't going to cut our hand off if your hand wants to do something it shouldn't do. We're just going to tell the hand it's going to straighten up, make it straighten up. Are you understanding this? You know, Teresa and I were talking last night. Aren't men and women, aren't you sick and tired of looking at men's underwear? Or their cracks? Or their hairline in the front. I have never in all my life seen, I mean, it's everywhere you look. That is not godly. And a godly man would not do that. And a godly woman would not dress to entice. That's a fact. Ask God. He'll tell you. So we were trying to figure out last night, when is this ever going to end? I wish it would have ended a year ago before it ever gets started or however long ago it gets started. I've seen more men's underwear than I have their jeans. That's not godly. Well, what I'm saying is, see how far the church has slipped, because the church does it. See how far we slip from grace and righteousness and holiness. And then you're in here and you're saying to some young new convert, oh, Jesus is good, then why are you dressing like the devil? Are you listening? Can you endure? If you can't pull your pants up and put a belt on, you are not going to be able to endure what's really coming down the road. I don't know why I'm on that subject. I've already jumped down his throat and told him he had to wear a belt to church. But, you know, but this is, you know, God doesn't, this isn't pleased with this. He really isn't. So, church, if you can't put on a belt and keep your pants up where they belong, how are you going to endure when an enemy comes and gives you a full-blown attack? And if you notice now with the tattoos, now they're removing tattoos. It's costing more to have them removed than what it costs you to get them. But now they're removing them. The enemy convinced the world that, you know, that even the church, that you need tattooed. You don't need it. You didn't need it. The Bible says, do not mark your body. The Bible also says, do not pierce your body. But yet you see, I don't care if it hurts your feelings. No, I hate to see a nose ring. It's like a bull. When I was on the farm, we put a ring around a bull's nose so we could lead him around and make him do what he wanted to do. And you girls walk around here with these rings in your noses. You know, why? It's not even godly looking. I mean, it's not even nice looking, I don't think. But anyhow, there you go. There's my dress. I just want to say one thing about earrings. All my life, I wanted to wear earrings too because I think they look cute. When I was over in Germany, you know, overseas, I bought all the expensive, really expensive gold earrings and everything else. I can't wear an earring. My ears won't stay pierced. And if I put the clip on, they just hurt so bad. I cannot. God will not let me wear an earring. If you look in the Word, everybody wore earrings, men and women. But God would never allow me to put earrings on my ears. Can you endure? I've seen some women with earrings down to their neck, though, and get something hot caught in there and about tear their ears off. So God's protecting your ears. I'm not saying, God, no, I shouldn't have said that. God did not tell you not to wear earrings. I'm just saying he won't let me wear them. And I'm saying sometimes your earrings could be dangerous is what I should have said. I said that, God didn't. All right. How many of you really want to be strengthened in the Lord tonight where you will be able to endure not only what the little tiny trials, because what you're going through is just little tiny trials. I can guarantee you that because your big tribulations are on the way. And if you can't stand these little, you can't get through these little tiny trials, you're never going to get through the tribulations. And you'll be one of the first whenever they said, deny Christ or lose your head. You'll say, I don't know Jesus. You'll be just like Peter. But you ever stop and think? You know, if you don't deny Christ, they just go, cut your head off and you're done. I mean, you're in heaven. But if you deny Christ, you're going to go to hell. Think about that. Or if the altar's open. If you want God to really give you a strong anointing and to endure, be able to endure these small tests that you're going through so that when the big ones come, you're all ready to go.